It is that time to get our Thursday view from the North. Working his magic for the good folks at Comcast Sports Net, online CSNNW.com. Catch his thoughts, his videos on Facebook. Go Facebook.com/AaronFentress CSN. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress, as you may have presumed. Mr. Fentress is here. How you doing, AF?
I'm doing well, but you know, I just realized you're always talking about the fuel injection hotline. How do I get this sort of fuel injection wizard, dude?
Are you on in on this whole fuel injection hotline?
I think I deserve a bottle of fuel injection for a pair, no?
Do you run on regular or diesel?
I run on either V-Power or Supreme, whichever happens to be the choice du jour at the local gas station.
All right, I thought you seemed like a high-octane guy. I was watching you guys talking ball on Comcast, and Dwight Janes is talking about this Golden State team versus the 96 Bulls.
He just made me so mad.
Here's my question. When he says that Chicago team went through a soft East, is he sincere, or does he just want to bust your chops?
I think he was trying to bust my chops, because he remembers that era. He remembers those teams. I don't know. Dan didn't let us get into it enough, because I was about to just go ballistic. I was so stunned he said something so ridiculous. But then after break, too, he tried to say Steph Curry was better than Jordan. And I was like, okay, we're fighting. Let's just fight. Next segment. Let's just go time. But the Warriors just went through a very dysfunctional Rockets team and a Blazers team that had no business being in the second round, whereas the Bulls that year went through the Ewing's Knicks and then Shaq and Penny. I love how they just completely disrespected Shaq and Penny like they were scrubs. I think they had the third best record in basketball that year. They'd gone to the finals the year before. And it was Shaq and Penny for crying out loud. And the Bulls scrubbed them, and they tried to dismiss them like they were nothing. So, yeah, that was an irritating moment for me. I was so stunned I didn't know how to react. And I knew I wouldn't be given the proper time to react.
Yeah, I wish if I were a mind reader, I think it would have been at least R-rated and maybe not suitable for airing. Yeah. So the story I saw on your site that you tweeted out, where I guess that it said the tendency is avoid challenging a team on where they excel. Obviously, with Golden State, that's shooting the three. Is this actually one of those times, though, where you better rethink, because the game is just different now? And as the article says, you really need to understand the math facing this team.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand how you don't shoot three because you don't shoot threes because you don't want to play the game the other team plays, when the math bears out that you better make some threes if you want to keep pace with a team that makes a lot of threes. I think the biggest thing might be the pace. You want to run up and down the court and jack up threes early in the shot clock. That could be dangerous against these guys because you know they're not going to have very many bad nights. You know, Curry and Thompson are capable of just going bonkers, and so in that type of game, can you really beat them four times? I buy into that. I don't know if it's better for you to at least maybe slow down the pace a bit, maybe still take your threes, but you probably don't want to get in a run and gun situation with them. It's sort of like a team trying to get into a pace war with the Ducks football team. Like,
sure.
Do you really want to do that, or do you want to play it smart and try and kill some clock when you have the ball? I think LeBron has to dominate this year. He has to get inside and dare someone to come challenge him, and then he can kick it back out to guys for really good open looks. Because there's no one on this team that could remotely have a chance of dealing with him inside like they couldn't last year when he carried the team to a six-game loss. That's the key for me, not just having Kyrie run down court. I'm over for three, I'm going to shoot it with 18 seconds on the shot clock, and LeBron doesn't touch it. I think that could be bad.
Now, I thought you guys made another interesting point of, you know, I guess what to make of Golden State. I mean, they did fall into the 3-1 hole, nearly got sent packing. Then they overcame that, which shows heart. So how do you personally, like, evaluate what we could make of how they got here?
Yeah, you know, the 73 wins makes them, and if they win the title, makes them one of the, you know, best teams of all time. Where we rank them remains to be seen. I think you can say, though, that they fell behind 3-1 to a team, but then they did show the resolve to come back. Every team has bad stretches. Now, I remember the Bulls, the year they won 72, obviously they ran right through the playoffs, but I think the next year, or was it the year after that, where they went 7 games with Indiana.
Yep.
Was that the second?
I think that was 97, the 97, one in between, because okay. I just remember how ticked off Bird was after, which made me happy because I hate the Celtics.
Yeah, so, like, you know, every great team usually has someone get in their way. But I would say, you know, they were outplayed in that series, and if it weren't for, I maintain this, Dwight and I got into it about this too, is that from the neck up, the fact that they melted down is why the Thunder lost that series. Because they were the better team throughout most of the series into the last few minutes of a couple of games. And that's a ding a little bit on the Warriors because they were able to take advantage of it, but they would have lost if the Thunder had just average composure. Not even great composure, just
average.
Composure. They win game 6 and it's over. They don't commit 6 turnovers in 8 possessions and Westbrook isn't just spitting up the ball every time he touches it. You know, it doesn't matter. The Warriors won. They're in the series. But, you know, I tell you what. You know how I feel about this from the Bulls' perspective. You know, the Warriors are going to lose at least 2 in the playoffs. They will have twice as many losses as the Bulls had in the playoffs. The overall record for the playoffs and the regular season will be secure with my Bulls. So I'm happy. That said, I still want the Cavs to smoke these Bulls.
Okay, I know what you like. But were you at all surprised? Because I know you pay attention to it as well. I went to make my bet online, and it was like, whoa, 2-1. I thought it was a little more even. So any surprise at all that the odds makers are saying, yeah, pretty solid favorite, the Warriors?
You know, I'm not, because I think people are chalking this up to, one, the West is better than the East. Even though the East had a better record this year, the top heaviness of the West made it better. The Warriors are way more battle-tested having to go through the Thunder, not necessarily the Rockets and the Blazers, but the Thunder than anything that the Cavs had to deal with in the Starry East playoff. And the fact that, you know, you got Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, who are not great defenders, who are going to be matched up against guys who could take them to school. So, if you know, who's going to be on Curry? And if LeBron's on Curry for any stretches of time, that's going to wear him out. I see them just sort of trying to play it straight for see what happens, and then late in the game, you see LeBron on either Kyrie or Klay, just like LeBron did to Derrick Rose in the West Finals a few years ago when the Bulls would be rolling in each game, and all of a sudden the fourth quarter came along, and they put LeBron on Rose, and it was over.
Yep.
It was like that. I think we're going to see that in this series. We had some Dellavedova on Curry because he did a great job last year. That all said, if I was forced into a corner to bet money, like put up your house, or you die, like Grant Sopano. This is where I go when I have to make my pick. I have to put myself, like, give your house to the Bada Bing Club or make a pick.
Okay.
Sopano's going to kill you. Okay. So if I had to do that, my money would be on the Warriors in 7.
All right, well, I actually, just because of the odds and I didn't have that much money left in my account, I just dumped it on Cleveland. I figured, what the hell.
Yeah. But it's close, and I'm going to be rooting for Cleveland. And I really, really want them to win. But if I had to bet money on it, the home court advantage, a 2-3-2, I love that for Golden State. They're not going to lose 4-1. The worst-case scenario, Golden State's going to come home down 3-2 with 2 at home. And I would bet my money that they would win those 2.
All right. I want to get to a couple of other things. You retweeted a story by Bruce Feldman about Baylor, you know, the recruiting class they signed in February. I think there are 7 of them who want out. There's a lot of unanswered questions. Right now, the compliance department says they're not going to be released. And, you know, this is obviously a case that's just despicable, these kind of allegations. What's your reaction about how a Baylor's handling this and if these young guys should be freed up, I guess?
All right, they need to change the rule just based on the situation. When you sign a letter of intent on February 4th or 3rd or whatever it is, you know your coach that's signing you is not going anywhere because that period has passed, right? The chance for him to jump ship is gone 99 times out of 100.
Right.
So you know at least that the coach you're being recruited by is going to be there. So to have that coach gone and then to have that coach be gone because of a scandal, that very may well not sit well with the parent of that kid, who at the time, by the way, is still a minor and still in high school. You should be able to pull out. And to me, this is not, I'm not even worried about the kid aspect of this. I'm worried about the parental aspect of this. You're telling me as a parent that if I allow my kid to sign with you and then you turn out to be a giant sleazeball and get fired, and the president and the president, Ken Starr, was the president. Yeah, he was the president, yeah. You know, are all complicit in this entire scandal and the treatment of female students, and I still have to send my kid to your school? Oh, there's going to be an attorney involved in some aspect. And if I'm these, I think there's seven that want out right now.
Yep.
If I'm these seven, I go to junior college next year. I say, you know what? I'm not sure exactly on the rules if you can do that or not. I think you can, because that's your year sitting out, and then you can start back up the next year. And just say to yourself, what's more important, spending 4 years at a place I don't want to be, or spending 1 year at a JC and then going and spending 3 years at a place where I want to be? And again, I'm not sure on the rules on that, but I would just do whatever I needed to do to get out of that situation and just say, I'm not playing for Baylor, period. And if you're going to try and hold me up, because what does that tell future kids? It tells future kids, oh, they're going to screw these kids, even though they should have every reason imaginable to want to not go there anymore. But they're going to screw them by making them sit out a year just for spite when they're the ones completely in the wrong. It would be completely bad luck for Baylor. I think if they banded together, got some attorneys involved, I think Baylor would relent, because that's a better thing to do. But it's just a disgusting situation that no kid and parents should have to deal with.
No, good take there for sure. Final thought. Let's get to your Cubbies. They're plus 129 in run differential. That's better than double the rest of the NL. It's more than 50 better than the Red Sox, who have the best in the AL. I guess the only holes right now look like they're corner outfielders with their bats. So we're here in early June. Are you putting aside money every month for World Series tickets?
I should be, shouldn't I? No, I mean, I am pretty excited about the fact that I don't say right now that barring disaster, I know they're at least going to be back in the postseason. And once you get there, of course, anything can happen. So, and I think I've said this before, I'm looking at a five-year window. You know, anything can happen in the postseason. We saw last year, they were set to play the Mets. People thought they were going to beat the Mets. They got swept. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, for me, the randomness of the postseason, if you have a five-year window where you're going to get to the postseason 4 out of 5 times, you have a great chance of winning a World Series. So I feel like it could be this year. I think they're going to make a move at the deadline to bring in maybe another pitcher or another bat to solidify things in left field with the platoon they got going there with Soler struggling a little bit. It's not really working out. Or another pitcher to sort of bolster up their front end of the rotation. But this could be the year. But if it's not, I feel so good about this good young team that I think it's going to happen in the next year.
All right. Always good stuff, AF. We always appreciate your time. Have fun. Enjoy game one tonight, and I'll catch up with you next week.
All right, man. Take care.
Take it easy.